Again, I welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room for today's study, which will be study number 137. And the date stamp for today is April the 26th of 26. And the title of this series, the title that we laid on it 137 studies ago, is Paul's Foundations. And the intent was to take everybody back and let's go back and look at the foundations that the Apostle Paul have laid in the Scripture that are there for us to understand, doing it through a dispensational approach, starting with Paul's kingdom, preaching kingdom dispensation. So the purpose of the study series, as I've said, is to investigate the various ministries of the Apostle Paul in order to better understand his fundamental teachings through the various dispensations he was involved in. I like to throw that out before I get started every time so everybody will kind of know where we are and what we're looking at. We've already been through the book of Galatians. We've been through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. We've been through Hebrews. And now we're a good ways into 1st Corinthians. Working our way through 1 Corinthians. So for our last study last week, we stayed on track with our dive into 1 Corinthians, as I've said, starting at chapter 11, verse 31, and we went all the way up through chapter 12, verse 7. So for today's study, what I want to do, let's trudge on with our dive into 1 Corinthians by rereading chapter 12, verses 1 through 7, and then we'll pick up with verse 8 today. Now, this is getting into spiritual gifts. When you read the first verse of chapter 12, evidently the Corinthians had wrote back to the Apostle Paul, and they were asking about these spiritual gifts, and they had questions. And I can see how within any group of believers, when they're being given these individual gifts, and Paul, believe me, is going to get into the individuality of the gifts, down to how the Spirit gives this type of gift to one, this type of gift to another, and yet another type of gift to another. And Paul's going to list out a lot of what these gifts were. So we're going to learn a lot about the kingdom dispensation by looking at these gifts that Paul is going to mention and the descriptions of them. And we'll get to dig into the Greek a little bit to see what these mean. So to get rolling with this today and get back into these gifts, we made it down through verse 7 last week of chapter 12. So turn with me this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to read 1 through 7. And then we'll pick up with verse 8 with today's study. So Paul says this. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts. And it should literally say spiritual things. I think the word things there, as the notes denote, or is a lot closer. And you can see it's italicized. So concerning spiritual things, brethren, Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. Paul did not want them to be ignorant about what the gifts were, because evidently there was some ignorance that was causing some problems and therefore the question about the gifts. So he said, I don't want you to be ignorant about these spiritual things, brethren. He said, you know, in verse 2, that ye were Gentiles carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. And these dumb idols, Paul's not kind of dissing the idol, which is not a bad thing, but he's literally saying these idols can't speak. If you create a steel idol or a clay idol or a wooden idol, whatever the material it is that comes from the earth, gold idol, and you set it up, it doesn't matter what the material is. You can pray and speak and plead with that thing all you want to, and it's just going to stand there mute. Never going to speak back. And if it does, then I would advise you to check very closely into whatever power that's enabling it to do so. Because I promise you it is not of God. when God speaks, he doesn't have to speak through these dumb idols, as Paul said. So he says, you know that ye were Gentiles, carried away into these dumb idols, even as you were led. You were led, and that's the way that, you know, that's just how you grew up. You grafted in Corinthians. This is just how you've grown up. You grew up with these dumb idols. He said, wherefore I give you to understand, verse 3, that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Only through the power of the Holy Spirit can somebody say that Jesus is Lord. And conversely, nobody that says that Jesus is accursed is doing that by the Spirit of God. That's what Paul's is making that perfectly clear. That there is a distinct dividing line between the actions of the person and whatever's powering them. If they're powered to say that Jesus is Lord, that's of the Holy Spirit. If they're powered to say, well, Jesus is accursed, it ain't the Holy Spirit doing that. Verse 4, Paul says, now, there are diversities of gifts, differences of gifts, but not there are differences of gifts, but the same Spirit. Paul says, among these gifts, there are differences. But guess what? It is the same Spirit that gives the gifts. And we're going to get into that in detail today. Verse 4 is basically, we're going to see a breakdown of verse 4 today in our lesson as we go. And we'll see how far we get. See, so is there diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So you see, the Spirit is mentioned in verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ is mentioned in verse 5, and God the Father is mentioned there in verse 6. So I thought we made that pretty clear last week. Then verse 7, where we stopped last week, Paul says, but the manifestation, the unveiling of, the showing of the Spirit, what the Spirit shows is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit, Paul says there in verse 7. And that word manifestation, if I can find it, is phanerosis. It's used only here in the 2 Corinthians 4, 2. And you can check Appendix 106 for that. But literally what he's saying is what you see from the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. And is that for the profit of the man or the profit of the body? Well, as we're going to see, these gifts are given to strengthen not the person so much, but the body that they are a member of as we go through it. And that's what Paul is saying here with the last verse that we went over last week in verse 7 here in chapter 12. He said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, I believe that during this dispensation, during the life and times, if you could roll back the clock and go back and stand in the middle of this Corinthian assembly, you would have had some sort of gift from the Spirit if you were truly a believer. That would have been whatever gift that the Holy Spirit, through the will of God, would have deemed would have been fitting for you. It would have almost been like personalities. I believe these gifts were doled out according to the person, according to their personality, according to their gifts, and according to their talents, maybe. I don't know. But I do believe that if you were within that assembly, you would have had some type of gift. And the differences in the gifts and the fact that the gifts were given to us lowly, sinful human beings is probably what was causing some of the question and the consternation among the group. Now, let's move on. Let's start with today's lesson here in verse 8. This is This is very interesting to me. We're going to learn a lot about the gifts, the types of gifts, which ones that should be coveted, what the gifts were all about, where the gifts come. I mean, we're going to learn a lot about the gifts of the Spirit, so to say, that were being given during the Acts period here in 1 Corinthians. As a matter of fact, I don't know of anywhere else in the Scripture that you can learn as much about the various gifts that were being given as you can in the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians. I mean, it's pretty amazing. The things that are revealed by the Apostle Paul here, especially to those of us in this dispensation, because we have our own gifts, but they're totally in for the most part, they're in a totally different realm, and some of the gifts are the same, but a lot of them are different. And the way the Spirit is working through believers today, I believe, is a little different than it was in the book of Acts. So let's pick up verse 8 here today. So, as long as my voice holds out, and see how far we can get. So Paul goes on to say in verse 8, so we're going to narrow it down. Paul said, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Every man's going to get a gift. But here now, he goes from the general, now he's going to narrow it down.
Well, we all have the energy, but we don't put that energy to use.
How is it used?
Same way.
That's the good point. And that's kind of where Paul's going with this. That's a good way to put it. So he goes from the specific to the, or from the very general to the very specific in verse 8. And Paul says, for to one is given, you see that where it says by the Spirit? Well, let's read the verse. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, the logos of wisdom. To another, the logos of knowledge by the same Spirit. So let's break this down a little bit. The word by there, the first word by is, in the Greek is the word through, I believe. Let me pull up my dictionary here. And we're in the first by is dia, and that's always through, like diameter, meter. If you look at diameter of a circle, that's all the way, the distance all the way through the circle. And dia here is always through. So by there in the first usage, where it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit, for to one is given through the Spirit is how it should read. For to one is given through the Spirit, the word, the logos of Sophia, the word of wisdom. So to one may be, one's gift may be a word of wisdom. There would have been a person who could have went around and spread to the other members of the body words of wisdom. Did you ever consider that to be a gift of the Holy Spirit? You ever thought about that? That's why I wanted to look at these gifts a little closer as we went through. Because when you say gifts of the Spirit, oh, it's healing, it's raising people, it's the big stuff. Not always. Paul actually is going later on, he's going to admonish them to covet the best gifts. Because I think wanting a better gift would have possibly influenced the gift that you got through the Spirit during this dispensation. That's something to think about.
Well, that brings you knowledge, because the way our educational system is set up, generally speaking, from the aspect of college, you go into a room and someone has wisdom that produces this knowledge that he can bring it to the rest of the people in a way that they can make God's word, or to make especially God's word more profitable to the individual. So he's doling out basically this knowledge.
It's interesting that you say knowledge because the first one here, for the one is given through the Spirit, the Logos, the word of wisdom. And the second one, Paul says, to another, the word Logos of knowledge, gnosis. So Paul makes it clear that one is the gift of wisdom, another is the gift of knowledge.
How to use.
Now, a man can have knowledge, but not maybe so much wisdom sometimes. Yeah. A lot of times, one of the best displays of that, believe it or not, I saw was in the movie Jurassic Park. One of the guy had revealed that he was able to clone dinosaurs, to make dinosaurs. And he had this meeting with this group kind of testing the theory, like, should we do it? And one of the comments was, well, we were so enamored by whether we could that we never really stopped to wonder if we should. See, you can have the knowledge to do something like that, but you gotta have the wisdom to stop. And I think the same thing about AI. We got the knowledge to do it, but do we have the wisdom to control it once that genie's out of the box?
Yeah, we.
Maybe not.
We often say the Pandora's box.
And that keeps coming up. So there is a difference in wisdom and knowledge. You can have knowledge without wisdom. But I think it's very difficult to have wisdom without the knowledge of what's going on. But raw knowledge, oh yeah, you can. And I think that's part of what's wrong with the world. And we have such instant access to a lot of so-called knowledge. A lot of it's garbage. I would replace the word knowledge with garbage. But we have instant access to so much knowledge that sometimes I think the wisdom sort of gets plowed under. And we don't really stop to think about the knowledge that we're in control.
Well, this is the realm between God and Satan also.
Yeah.
Satan had knowledge.
Without wisdom.
But he didn't have no wisdom.
Yeah, he had the...
He had the want.
Yeah. His wisdom was overshadowed by his own greed. And his own need for worship. He wanted something that was never intended to be his.
Yeah.
And that's always been his problem. So I thought that, and that's a good, I'm glad you brought that up because the first one is the word or the logos of wisdom to another, the word of gnosis, word of knowledge. By, and the second by there is a different by. It's the word kata. And it's, here, kata is by or cast of the same spirit or according to the same spirit. So it's the same Holy Spirit that doles out the word of wisdom as it is that doles out the word of knowledge. But one man may get the word of knowledge, another man may get the word of wisdom. You see how it works. But it's the same spirit that's the source of it all. Now, that's basically what Paul is going to keep reiterating here as we go through these verses. You've just seen the prototype of what's coming in the subsequent verses here. Let's go on down to verse 9. Paul says to another, he just continues on, to another faith by the same spirit. You see the by there? It's a completely different preposition. Earnestly encourage you to go and look at these prepositions. When you see the word by, to, through, for, a lot of these words, you really need to know which one's being used so that you get the proper meaning for the word and the usage within the verse. So to another, faith. So did you know that faith was a gift of the Spirit. Did you know that? Well, it is. It's what Paul said. to another, you know, you give the spirit of the word of wisdom to one, spirit of the word of knowledge to another faith, he said. It's a gift just like all the others. To another faith by or within. And this is used twice in this verse. It's not kata, it's not dia, it's en, the Greek form in. To another faith in the same spirit. To another, the gifts of healing in the same spirit. You see that? So we've named, what we have, four here. We've got four gifts already. We've got the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. We've got faith, the gift of faith, and we've got the gifts of healing, all by the same source, all by the same spirit, Paul says. Then in verse 10, to another, and then he goes on. Excuse me. To another, the working. And the working there is energema. The working of miracles. And miracles there in the Greek is, dunamis coach will appreciate this, is the word dunamis. Working is the operation of, and dunamis is literally miraculous force or power. So it's the working or the operation of miraculous power. How would you like to have that? To another, the gift of the Spirit of the operation of miraculous power. Wow. To another, prophecy. And the word for prophecy there is prophetia. And prophetia means prediction. This is the gift of predicting probably things of the future, things that were to come. That was a gift of the Spirit that goes right along with the working of the operation of the miraculous power. Now, I don't know what they could use this miraculous power to do, but it is already separate from healing. I don't know if you noticed that. What would the working of miraculous power be used for if not for healing? Maybe if it's raising the dead. I don't know. Miraculous power. You know, Paul talks about the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand and from above all. Maybe that's what the miraculous power there is. Another thing to check out.
Place and position.
Yeah, it's whatever it is, it's not healing because he's already mentioned the gift of healing. This is something different. This is the working of miraculous power.
Change the mind. It's to change the mind, I think, from Satan to God.
Oh, could be. It's the miraculous power to do something. I don't know what that is.
This was what, when Jesus has been teaching all this, that these Pharisees can't understand.
Yeah, they could not get it.
If their mind is not changed, they're not going to do anything else.
And their minds were so closed and made up that they couldn't even be communicated with almost.
Right.
If it didn't fit right into their groove, they just threw it out.
Yeah.
You're wrong. Here's how it really is. They could not even in the face of all the evidence the Lord presented and the arguments he made, they still fought.
Absolutely.
Just like Satan. So to another, the working, verse 10, the working of miracles. To another, prophetia. That's the predicting the future. To another, discerning of. And discerning there is by accuracies, and it means judicial estimation. you look at the evidence of what a spirit is doing, and you make the judicial decision as to whether that spirit is of God, or whether that spirit's from somewhere else.
Pharisees always said, you know, he's got a demon.
Yeah.
You can't
do it. He's the Lord of being.
You can't do it by God.
Yeah.
It has to be come
from. And the Lord even corrected them. He said, how can, you know, a kingdom divided against itself is never going to stop? How do I cast out demons by Beelzebub? That don't make no sense, y'all.
No. It's like the blind man, you know, it had never been done, but yet they saw it. And they couldn't understand it. And they said, oh, you got this.
It was so far outside the purview of their belief that they couldn't get their brain. It just blew their mind. Literally blew their mind.
Well, that was the reason for the blind man.
Yeah.
It had never been done by human.
Right.
To have the power to do that.
Yeah.
And he spit on the ground and he used that spittle. It was holy spittle.
To do something that just completely.
Something you throw away. And they couldn't take it.
Yeah. And that's always their problem. So the discerning of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now look at this. To another, kinds, you can leave the word divers out there. To another, kinds of tongues, glossa in the Greek, languages. There were those who could speak in tongues. Like, if they were needing to get truth to this person, and this person spoke a different language, they would go get somebody who had the gift of tongues. And the one who had the gift of tongues would speak, and then, on top of that, to another, the interpretation, the hermeneia of tongues, of languages. You had those that different languages. So you had some that could speak it and others that could hear it and translate it.
Yeah.
God had all the problems with getting the word out concerning the kingdom of heaven. He had all the problems covered during this dispensation. Oh, you don't have time to train translators? Let me take care of that. Oh, you don't have time to haul a sick man around? Well, let me just heal him. You don't have time to do this or that? Don't have time to train people? Let me take care of that. Let me give them the knowledge. Let me give them the wisdom. The Holy Spirit was doling out to each and every one that particular gift that God wanted them to have. And Paul's breaking them down for us here.
Yep.
Isn't that amazing? That we're not left wondering what these gifts Paul talks about as a whole earlier in the chapter. We're not left wondering what they were. And I bet there's several probably that Paul didn't even mention. Let's go on down to verse 11. Because verse 11, it's kind of going to bring them all in, group them all together again. Paul says in 11, but all these what?
Worketh.
They worketh. And worketh there is a similar word that it's energeo or energeo. And it means to be active, efficient, be mighty in, self-work, to work effectually in. It's that diligent work. All these worketh that one and the self-same spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. The spirit divided to each and every member of the body exactly what he wanted them to have, as it says in there in verse 11.
This guy that I worked with, Mitchell, he speak eight languages.
Eight different languages, yeah.
And I saw that work in just in common work. because he was in charge of all the goings on of the plant that they built down here in the community. And that plant batches all the rubber for Michelin's entire worldwide project.
So they had
And it's done here.
Yeah, they had to have
They had to have someone there that could get these other people involved, because other people were coming and going. They couldn't speak French or some of the other languages.
Well, see, and with Corinth, it's kind of like, you remember back at the first of Acts, there were Jews there, it said, out of every nation. Well, I know at Corinth, we're mostly talking about the Gentiles here, but can you think of how many different languages you probably, I mean, they had the need for these gifts here at Corinth, just like they did everywhere else.
And now, the Jews were taken away and given these projects to do, and they had to understand what they were supposed to do.
And the Spirit was giving to each and every person within that assembly the exact gifts that they need. Now, was every person handling it exactly like they should handle it? Probably not.
No.
That generates the reason for the epistle.
The guy that I was talking to, he was trying to tell this man what he understood about his religion. And the man told him, you don't know what you're talking about.
I bet.
And he called him on it. And I thought, I never would have thought I'd ever brought it back up. I don't know why I'm talking about it now, but the fact is, with his education and understanding, he said, you're wrong. You just,
yeah, you just missed the boat. Right?
And, so he got him straightened out pretty quick. But I thought that was a wonderful, thing that I was sitting there listening to. And,
I do good to speak English, much less.
Yeah. Well, and that was,
some people even question whether I can even speak English.
me too. But that was part of that, because it was so, and it was brought up, in his way of thinking.
Right.
And so this man changed his way of thinking. Yeah. So.
Squared him up a little bit.
Yeah.
So Paul rounds all this up in 11. He said, all these different gifts, Paul says, worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. So I like to look at it with this analogy. Everybody knows that if you got a house plug in, an outlet, electrical outlet, that thing's got 120 volts of potential energy there all the time. If that's the Holy Spirit, if you've seen these drop cords, you can buy a drop cord that has a plug on the end that's got four different plug-ins. That one plug plugs into the power source, which in this case would be the Holy Spirit. But as it gets to the other end, it divides out in the four different plugs. Now I can plug a drill into one. I can plug a saw into another. I can plug a sander into another. And I can even plug a paint gun or something into one of the others. So you see, it's all coming from the same power source, but the power goes out and works in different ways.
Divide.
The power's a drill here, a sander here. A saw. You get my analogy. Is that a good analogy, Ella? Ella understood it, so I feel pretty good about it. To me, this what popped in my head. If you want to sort of have a little mental picture of how the Holy Spirit was working back then, it depended on who you were as to which tool you were, the power you were getting. You were like a tool, and you were getting the power from the Holy Spirit to do whatever the Spirit enabled you to do. And I don't know how better to put it than to use my silly little analogy there. Hopefully it makes a little bit of sense to you. And I'm running out of time. Let's look at verse 12. Because I wanted to at least get into this body thing today. Soma. Verse 12. Paul's working all this down to this point. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So you're telling me that the body's one, there's one body, but that body has many members. And the word body here, the word soma, is used in it, the analogy so often, and even Paul is going to do this, he's going to liken the body as like to a person, and then the members as one member is a hand, it has a particular function. My ear has yet another function. My eyes have a function. My mouth has a function, usually to eat. So you see, the body, though it's one body, my body is made up of a lot of different members. And so is yours. And that's what Paul's talking about here.
Yeah.
He literally uses the human body as the metaphoric picture of what's going on with the Holy Spirit. So he says in 12, and let's not miss this, for as the body is one, he says there's one body, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, you have many members, are one body. See, it's like a circular, one body's many members is one body, one body is many members is one. You see how it works? Like a circular firing squad there. This goes around and around. The many are one and the one is many. Makes sense?
Yeah.
Does to me. He said, so also, or so is Christ also.
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting. You mean there's many members to Christ? Evidently so.
Kind of explained to you, didn't?
Oh, he did. Didn't see that one coming. You know, that's kind of one of them you read over and you go, you know, you throw the brakes on, all the smoke comes, and they're like, wow, let's lock it down here for a minute. So he uses that analogy of the body, and he says, so is Christ also. Well, he's going to break even that down. So let's look at 13 here. I got another minute or so. For by one Spirit, are we all baptized into one body? Oh boy, now he's really gone and muddied the waters. Throwing that baptism in there. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. Remember, the Gentiles are being grafted in here. So by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Boy, that's interesting. Well, what kind of baptism do you think this is? Are all baptisms water baptisms? Remember Acts chapter 18. Anybody remember Acts chapter 18? Right. Paul gets to Ephesus, and he asked him, says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we don't even know that there even be such a thing as the Holy Ghost. And Paul asked him, he said, well, then to what were you baptized? They said, well, we were baptized under John's baptism, which was the baptism of repentance, John the Baptist. We were baptized in John's baptism. And so Paul took them, it says, and baptized them with probably with the laying on of the hands into by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then the cloven tongues came down upon them and they were different. They have been baptized, and that's what Paul's talking about here. The one Spirit baptism that was a requirement, something that would happen to you in this dispensation. And Acts 18 is a very interesting place to go back and take a look at. This is the end of Acts 8. It's right after Paul, just right as he gets into Ephesus. He is flat out asked him, he said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said, we don't even.
I think these people.
We don't even know what you're talking about the Holy Ghost.
They were teaching too, weren't they?
Well, they were teaching, but they were teaching the baptism of John, the repentance of John.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, Paul had already corrected Priscilla and Aquila on that. And Priscilla and Aquila, remember, took Apollos aside and corrected him about that. So, you know, what do you do about preachers that stand today and still preach the baptism of repentance of John? Well, that was being shot down in the book of Acts. God moved on from that.
Yeah.
And we got teachers, preachers today who know so little about the scripture and so unwilling to rightly divide it, they'll stand and teach something that was obviously shot down during the book of Acts 2,000 years ago. And that's my problem. It's not that I'm against preaching Christ for any denomination. Don't get me wrong. My admonition is preach it. If you're going to take the time to teach and preach, with all blessing, please do it rightly divided. Teach the latest thing that God's got out there. Be on the right program. Teach what God would have you teach. Don't just throw the scripture open and teach that for the gospel. If you don't know who it was written to, the reason it was written, who wrote it, and what God's trying to do with it, or what dispensation it's in. So you see, these things are important. And he says in 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. They are, through the Holy Spirit, they are baptized into one body. And he said, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, slave or free, and have been all made to drink into one Holy Spirit. We've all, regardless of your creed, we've all been made to drink, he says, into that one Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And then we'll read 14 and we'll stop. I think 14 is a good place to stop. For the body is not one member, but how many? Many members. But the body is not one member, but many. You see, it takes a lot of members to make up that one body. It doesn't take a lot of bodies to make one member. It takes a lot of members to make one body. Make sure you got that correct. And we'll stop there at verse 14, for today. Boy, the time flew by on that one. I didn't know. I didn't know exactly how far we'd get today. We will stop there with verse 14.
Good analogy though, but when you think about it and you think about what was given in the New Testament rather than the Old Testament. Yeah, you're going back and you have to explain the body that way.
Well, even if you look at what's been given in the New Testament, various parts of the New Testament change.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a big division in Old Testament and New Testament, but even within the New Testament, you go from the kingdom to the church to life through his name. I mean, there's God's doing a lot, and it's up to us as students and believers and studiers being diligent in the Word of God to go and look and make sure that we know what we see and what we believe and make sure that what we're looking at is the latest for us that God has today. Make sure you're not, as Larry used to say, claim jumping. You can't go and jump somebody else's claim to what their hope is. You got to have your own hope.
That's what I have to go back, Miss Georgia.
She tries to claim jump First Thessalonians a lot.
Yeah, well, she had been taught through Thessalonians quite a lot, so it was a lot. She
always comes back to that.
She had to, something you have to dump party, you load it out.
Dump it out, yeah. I agree.